Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. We are here at the location where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. I got my sister, north of me, Brenda Flores. We are going to talk about what it is to be beyond business, okay? To take that next step. Everybody wants to get a business, but how do you make it fulfilling? How do you gain revenue? How do you maintain creativity? How do you stay motivated? All of these things are really important, and she's going to talk to us about that. Also, she is a transformational business coach with a transformational business program. We want to hear a little bit about what that looks like and feels like. So help me welcome her to the edge. How are you, Brenda Flores?
I'm great, April. How are you?
I can't complain. I won't complain.
There you go.
I won't complain. It's a big Tell my brains, please, how you show up in the world.
I show up in the world with authenticity, service, and passion to make the world a better place. I love to work with people, especially women, and help them be the best that they can be. And I've recently refined that into what we're going to talk about.
Well, being the best that you can be, the best version of yourself, some people don't even know what version they are. You know, are you version one, version two? How does a person start to really kind of define who they are and set a goal for where they want to be?
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of tools. One of the tools I love is called Ikigai. And it's really about journaling and going internal and saying, what is it that I love? How would I love to spend my time if money were no object? That's what I love to start there because, you know, do you love nature? Do you love children? Do you love fashion? And most people can get there. Most people know, gosh, you know, if I had all the time in the world and all the money in the world, I would travel, or I would, you know, volunteer with animals. Or so I start there. That's the first part of Ikigai, is what is it that you love?
Okay. And so once you define that, you know, what it is that you love, what's the next action step?
The next action step is, what am I good at? What comes naturally to me? What do people come to me for? Do they come to you for interior design advice? Do they come to you for wardrobe advice, relationship advice, cooking? So what are the things that come naturally to you that you don't really have to put a ton of effort into as far as being an expert at it?
Well, that's fun. And then too, the other thing, what lights you up?
Oh gosh. What lights me up is seeing people happy, seeing people fulfilling what they've always wanted to fulfill, fulfilling their life's purpose. The beach lights me up. Animals like my dogs light me up. my husband and my two boys, who are adults, but still.
You know, they'll always be your babies. They'll always be your babies. How did you get into this design of and way of coaching?
I've always been someone that likes to help people and looks deeper than a lot of people do. I was in healthcare for, gosh, 35 years. I started as a registered dietitian, which includes coaching people essentially, or helping them learn what to eat. And I started there. Then I worked in healthcare, in administration, doing corporate coaching, executive coaching, helping people think differently, solve problems differently, and really look at what their process was and help them look at it differently and get rid of waste from the process to make it more efficient. And then I also am a certified habit change practitioner. So I've done a lot of training in regards to coaching and
let's stop right there. A certified
habit change practitioner.
Habit change.
Yeah.
So you help people with all kind of bad habits.
Yeah. Yes.
Eating, smoking, overspending, shopping.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. And so what I've done in the past 6 months to a year is really honed in on my ikigai. So what do I love? What am I good at? What does the world need? And what will people pay for, right? If you're trying to do a business, part of it is you need to have revenue. So I've looked at all of those things in my life, and I've refined it and have created the company called Beyond Business. So what I do with that is I help people, first of all, get the mindset. So breaking through the self-doubt of I can't, or this is, I'm not good enough, or I'm inexperienced, breaking through that doubt, getting the mindset to be in their zone of genius. And then what are the steps you need to take? Mindset's wonderful, but you also need steps to be able to start a business. So I've refined kind of all of those pieces that I love into this beautiful package of what I'm now calling Beyond Business. I've also created two companies. I created a company during the pandemic called Smile Mask, and that is, it's dwindling, and I knew it would. Thankfully, we don't have to wear masks anymore. But I created that to fill in.
You don't. I still wear them because it's creeping back up.
Oh, it's back. I know, a lot. And so it was a mask for the deaf and hard of hearing. So it really fulfilled a purpose. And I learned a tremendous amount through that. And then I've also helped build another company that my husband runs.
Do you have them there?
The mask? I don't have them here. No.
Oh, poo. I wanted to see what they look like.
Yeah, they're really cool. It has a clear non-fogging section in the front.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've built several businesses. So I know what it takes as far as grit, but I also know the steps. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm helping women who have a dream of a business or who are new entrepreneurs. And I'm helping getting them to the mindset place and then giving them the particular steps to grow or to begin a business.
But you know, people are enamored with that $25 word entrepreneur. You can end up being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
You have to understand that you've got to have a baseline. You got to have a little cash flow and multiple revenue streams. You can't just depend on the mask. I mean, it went great for you, but you're looking into other endeavors.
Right.
So, and you have to be able to know how to manage a business and hire where you're weak. Everybody's not good at marketing. Everybody's not good at sales. Right. Everybody's not good at promotion, product development. Even though you have this title as entrepreneur, CEO, principal, all of that is to really kind of make you feel good. The only thing that's going to feel good is when you look at that bank account and you can write a check.
Absolutely.
Really. And like you said, I find in business very interesting enough that women have an issue with money.
Yes.
They have an issue with knowing their value and their worth. Oh, well, I'm going to, give my books away, or I speak for free, or I do this. Well, in my opinion, that devalues you. Mm-hmm. Because if people really care about what you're doing to promote them, market them, be in business with them, they will invest in you.
Absolutely. Yep. And I have learned a lot about that. I did go through a program about money mindset because exactly that, it's so interesting. We have the mindset of, I think it's deep down that we don't feel worthy of it. I think that's where deep for me, I should speak for myself. That's where it was for me that, who am I to ask? And then I thought, wait a minute. First of all, I'm 61 years old. So I have life experience. I have, thank you. I have a lot of work experience, professional experience. I have a lot of training. I've started businesses, so I'm not new. I'm not new at all. So I think we start when we veer or when we transition and hone in, we seem to think we're starting over, but we're not. We're starting with all these amazing gifts that we bring to this experience. And it's really having the courage to understand what we bring and knowing where our needs are, to hire or partner with someone that can fill in the gaps. And I think that's what most successful people do. They're not good at everything. They know where their zone of genius is, and they surround themselves with other people who
Absolutely.
Have other expertises. Yes.
And they value those that input. You know, they really value what that individual is bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes.
It might be an all-woman business and you've got a man executive assistant.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's valuing what people do. But once you get in the business, okay, so you've created this design, you're starting to implement it.
Yes.
You're starting to price it out.
Yes.
But brains, you got to be accountable for it too. You got to pay your cotton picking taxes.
Yes, but, we do.
And again, to me, I'm not one to love the IRPS, but it is what it is. This is a first world problem. I can go in the refrigerator and get a tuna sandwich or get a steak. Right. I can afford to pay $7 for gas, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I can go and get the best medical care. So it's the risk versus the reward. But if you don't do it up, you know, your little cupcake business. I worked with a woman. I helped her raise her revenue 300%.
Wow.
From her, giving her goals and values and accountability.
Exactly.
But she never looked at the bottom line. And I told her, this is not your personal slush fund.
Right. It's not a hobby. Right. You have to treat it like a business or it's a hobby.
A jobby hobby.
Which is fine if that's how you want to do it. No, but there's very concrete ways to certainly to manage your finances and to look at the revenue stream and your input and your output, just like we do with anything. There's tools for that. There's people for that. There's classes.
You know what? But it's a basic understanding of that's what business is about.
Yes.
It's about money.
Yes.
You know, it's about and money is nothing but a vehicle of exchange. It's not this dirty word.
Right.
You can't go in and buy groceries and give them a smile. They want a check.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
But you also have to have that philanthropic arm.
Absolutely. Yes.
Where are you a giver, Brenda? What do you like to give to?
Boy, mostly to health, St. Jude's. And also to children and animals. But concretely, it's St. Jude's. I've been impacted by that as far as a friend of mine who is an adult but was giving to St. Jude's. And I just love their mission that they offer value and ask for nothing in return from the people who really need that treatment. Yeah.
Danny Thomas was amazing. And that was his life's work. And then Margot, girl, I used to love that show. Did you watch that show?
Yes, I did. Yes.
I did. And she's still carrying the torch for him. Mm-hmm. So let's get to know a little bit about you. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
What's your favorite color?
Oh, purple.
Why?
Because it's feminine, but not too feminine, kind of like me. it reminds me of my dog, because her name is Lila, which means lilac, which is purple. So yes, we are a dog family. I have two dogs. The color purple to me is very calming. I love pinks, purples, all of those types of colors.
It's beautiful. You like dogs. If you were a dog, what kind of dog would you be?
I would probably, we have two Australian Labradoodles, so I would probably be that. But I always think I would be either a Labradoodle or a, what do they call them? I can't think of what they're called.
A Lopsle or whatever that is?
No.
I would be
a Golden Retriever.
I would be a Shih Tzu. I want to be cute. I want to be pampered. I want a little carry bag. I want to be a big pop all the time. I want the little treats. I fit in the purse. Absolutely. I'm going wherever you go.
That's great. Because I'll be loyal and playful.
Loving. Cute. Yeah, and I'm kind of expensive. I'm high maintenance. You're gonna have to get tucked. You're gonna have to get me tucked and flucked. And if I'm a boy, you're gonna have to get my booty squeezed.
Oh my gosh, that's cute.
All of that stuff.
Oh, that's funny. I love it.
Have you written a book?
I have not, but I am going to.
What's gonna be on the pages inside of your book? What's gonna be
the pages? So I This is really an interesting, I hadn't planned on it, but I put a post on Facebook asking a question about advice people have received. And I got more than 500 comments, which tells me that people need that. So my plan is to create it, publish it into a book, but also a journal in a sense where people can write their own tributes, because some of the advice was wonderful advice. And some of it was, I didn't get any advice because it shows me who not to be, which is advice in a sense, you know? Right. So I am going to compile all of those comments into like a quote book, but where people can add their own and journal about it, because I didn't do it for them at that impact, but what an impact it had. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited, and I need to figure out how I'm going to do that, but I will. Yeah.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten?
The best piece of advice I've ever gotten was from my two. One from my father before he died. He said to take more risks. And he didn't mean dangerous risks. He meant financial risks and risks in going for the things in life, because he led a very traditional A, B, C, D, E life, and wishes he had taken more risks. That was his only regret. So I have done that. I've made my promise to him, and I've done that by starting businesses and saying, okay, I believe it. This is going to happen. And it does. So.
Well, you know, you're a risk taker, and that's very important. That's what you have to be when you're an entrepreneur, because you're taking a risk.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. What's the worst piece of advice you had? Oh. Mine was go on that second date.
My worst piece of advice. Oh, gosh. I get, you know, what just came right into my mind is should. I don't like that word. And so if anyone has told me I should this, should that, that's, I think, the worst piece of advice.
Right. It's
just forget, you know, forgive yourself. Think about what you want, not what you should, and not what other people think. So maybe that's the worst advice I got is, you know, what will other people think? Don't you worry about what other people think? I used to. I'm learning not to.
Well, it's your journey, and you have to trust in it. And what we do is we listen to these outside influences because we think that they're the subject matter expert. Yeah. We think that they've lived it and they've done it, but each one of our journeys is different. Even as a parent, you know, I had to dial back because I was worried about my daughter for a minute. I was like, she wasn't excited about roller skating. She wasn't excited about riding a bike. She had a car out there for 6 months, didn't drive it. Oh. She didn't move out till she was 28, but she was cool. I mean, I didn't have any problems. She just moved a little differently. Yeah. And I can't say slow, because she was moving at her own pace.
Right.
But then she started to be very artsy. And wow. I mean, way creative kind of stuff. My husband taught her how to sew, and she would go to college.
Oh, wow.
She'd do all these things. But then I saw her with these ears and these tails on, and I'm like, what is going on? Thought she turned into some kind of animal, and she was in this artsy world. Well, long story short, all of this come together, and now she is sought out here in San Diego as one of the leading costume designers and makeup artists.
Oh, that's incredible. Isn't that beautiful? And see, she found what she loves. She
and
found
I stepped what she's back. Good at. Right. I stepped back. I didn't force that. Oh, you got to go to a 4-year college. That wasn't her thing.
Yeah,
I let her evolve at her pace. And a lot of parents make that, you know, that mistake of trying to relive their life vicariously through their children.
Yes.
And it can be, you know, everybody's not to be that. Somebody might want to be a plumber. Somebody might want to be a administrative assistant, but they can be the best one on the planet.
Absolutely. No. I feel so strongly about that, April, because I was one of those parents too. And our sons have learned as they have grown, you know, that you have to pick your own path, and the 4-year school, et cetera, et cetera. It's wonderful for some people.
Some people.
Other people don't need it. It doesn't add benefit. It doesn't add value to them. And I think if we could teach earlier in schools, the whole thing about what is it that you love? What do people need? Where is there a need out there, and how do you go get that versus I'm gonna go to college, I'm gonna learn AB.
Let me tell you, these millennials, they have a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you and I, Brenda, we wanted the big house. We want the Mercedes Benz. Mm-hmm. We want to get our hair done, nails done. They want a tiny house. They want a cell phone with a big screen and a good camera. They want an electric vehicle. Yeah. They want to be able to work remotely.
Yes, absolutely.
And they only process information in bite-sized pieces. Right. We needed the whole thing. We needed an encyclopedia of information. That's not how they're processing now.
Right.
What would you say to a young entrepreneur in this space? Because they are going beyond business and they're designing mm-hmm. something new and something a little different from the business model or traditional business model that you use.
Absolutely.
What would you say to them?
I would say to follow their dream and to really not worry about what society says is the right thing. Because COVID has changed dramatically, I think, the needs of people. I think that the needs are much more well-rounded to balance and not overworking, working 60 hours a week. So I would tell them to follow their heart, go for it if they're entrepreneurs, lay a foundation, set goals, and really decide what's important to them and just go for it. There's so much opportunity, and they can be super successful if they find what they love, what they're good at, what the world needs. If you fill a need, you're going to do really well. And also don't give up, because every single time you fail, you learn something, and you learn either what not to do, or you learn what you can do better next time.
Absolutely.
There's so much to learn, but it's so exciting to see, especially young people or anyone, but young people who are taking their own path. So just shut out the noise and seek out the help that you need and go.
What are some other things, two or three things that are still yet on your life list that you want to accomplish? Maybe somewhere you want to go, something you want to see?
Yep. Write a book is on my list, certainly. Become a grandmother, which is not within my control.
I'm getting a grandpuppy.
Oh, there you go. We have a grandpuppy too. Yes. Travel. I've traveled a lot throughout my life, but I want to see Israel. Which mm-hmm. we were supposed to go 3 times and couldn't because of COVID. So I want to see Israel. There's nowhere else that I feel like it. And I want to see Africa.
Mm.
I want to go on a safari. Other than that, I'm okay.
Yeah. Who is that in the background?
That's my husband.
Did he say Greece?
He said, what about Greece?
You know what? That's my deal. I've been so fortunate that someone has just sponsored the podcast to go to Italy.
Oh.
And Italy is on my life list. I can't wait to see the Colosseum. I'm going to report back, Brains.
Absolutely.
And Vatican City. But I couldn't do the 13 cities in 15 days. I'm not that kind of traveler.
No.
I need to luxuriate for a day, watch international news, order room service. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do land and sea. I'm going to Rome a few days early, and then we'll take a cruise. So I'm excited about travel. I'm a little apprehensive because, again, different variances and different strains, but we can't live in a bubble.
No, we can't live in a bubble, and we can't live in fear either. Do the best you can and be safe. But I've been to Italy, and I'm Italian. My grandparents came from Italy. So it really has my heart. I love Italy.
Well, and tell your husband next time when you guys go to Greece, we'll all meet up, because I couldn't decide. I said, do I want to do it from Greece or do I want to do it from Italy?
Uh-huh.
But I'm really excited about that. If you had 3 wishes, what would they be?
Boy.
I know, it takes your breath away.
My 3 wishes would be to live a healthy life till it's my time to go. A healthy life physically and mentally, and be fully present physically and mentally. To help as many women as I can start and grow their businesses so that I can see my impact on the world while I'm here. and to leave a legacy of love with my children, so that that they can continue our cultures and our teachings and our learnings. That's a tough question. Wow.
Well, you know, it's realistic.
Yeah.
And it's impactful, because we can't ask you after the deed is done.
No.
And it gives you a template. It gives you a goal. It gives you something to aspire to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So in closing, what would your legacy be? What do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy will be that people felt love when they were around me. People remembered me for being a loyal friend, a smart, dependable person who brought just a little piece of joy to their lives.
Well, you brought joy to our lives. Mm-hmm. Tell me just a little bit quickly about the Beyond Business program mm-hmm. and mentoring yeah. program. And sure. then also at the end of that, tell us how to get in contact with you.
Okay, sure. So the Beyond Business program, the way I usually start working with people is through a complimentary informational call. And I have a website scheduling page, and it's beyondbusinessmentoring.com. You can also email me at brenda.flores@beyondbusinessmentoring.com. And so what I love to do is really just have a discovery call where I understand what is it that people are looking for, to see, are we a good fit and do I have what they need? And if I do, wonderful. If I don't, I can usually refer them to someone who does. So it's really working with someone either one-on-one or offering them a program that I have that I haven't launched yet. I will be launching, and it's 5 sessions, really digging deep into who you are, what you love, what business idea you have, setting goals, and then writing a business plan.
I hated that. That cotton picking business plan.
Why do we need that stuff?
Again, as I stated before, you need a blueprint. You need to be challenged, and you've got to do the deep dive, because that is where you're going to uncover and discover where the gaps are, what you need.
Exactly.
You're going to be able to ask the intelligent questions to a funder.
Right.
Someone that's going to give you money, because we were talking about that at lunch yesterday. You know, these people want to purchase a franchise, but they can't produce the documents.
Right. Exactly.
And, yeah. you know, people are not going to just say, oh, you know what, April and Brenda, you guys are so cute. Okay, we're going to give you $100,000.
True.
No, right. So I wouldn't do it. It's not smart business. And brains, right. you know, really take it seriously. Decide what lane you're in. If it's a jobby hobby, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, present and deliver excellence.
Absolutely.
Have a sense of pride in what you do. Pay it forward. Continue to learn. If you don't want to make money at it, me and Brenda's not mad at you. and we're not judging. We're not judging. I get it, because people do a lot of things from the heart.
Yes.
But do it so that someone else can flourish and prosper. Okay? That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And thank you for pointing into me, Brenda Flores from up north. I appreciate you.
Yes.
I value you. Come back and visit me again on the edge. And next time we want to see these masks, girl.
All right.
Crazy. All right?
Yeah. Thank you so much, April. It was great seeing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Thank you. And thank you for your support. Bye,
yep.
brains.
Take
Have
care.
An amazing day.
Bye.
Bye.